I am Planta on the line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. From Oakville, Ontario, one of Canada's top five political minds, Jerry Nichols joins me again. He was on with me just before the election was called, and now just after the vote. We'll check in. He was one of the few pundits who thought a conservative majority was possible for Stephen Harper. He joins me now for a bit of a victory lap around the results. We'll talk about Jack Layton and the NDP's official opposition status, their success in Quebec, the decline of the Bloc and the Liberal Party. It's a party in disarray. The website for more is at jerrynichols.com. He is a communications consultant, commentator, the author of Loyal to the Core, and a fan of The Office. That's important. Oh, and he's a former vice president of the National Citizens Coalition. Please welcome back to the Planta Online program, Jerry Nichols. Good morning, Mr. Nichols.
Good morning, Joseph. Glad to be here.
Thanks for joining us. So what did you make? We'll start with The Office.
important things first.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. After 40 or so days of federal politics, you sort of get tired of it. I don't know if that's the same with you. What did you make of Michael's exit from The Office?
Well, it was a bittersweet moment. I thought it was a good episode.
Yeah.
I thought it sort of captured some of the old spirit. Of course, it was very sad to see Michael go, but I think they handled it very well. And I'm just curious now as to what's going to happen with the series. It's hard to imagine The Office without Michael Scott, so that'll be something to look forward to, I guess.
I thought it was. You're right about that. It was well done. That it had sort of the humorous moments. It had sort of hat tips to previous shows. I remember when he put the Dundee on his desk.
Right.
That's like a shot from the credits.
Right.
And then of course the scene with Jim. I mean, I wept a little there.
Well, yeah, you'd have to be made of ice.
Yeah.
Not to have a tear in your eye.
Yeah.
At that scene, it was kind of poignant and funny, and I thought it was a good send off for Michael.
You know, and then I was thinking to myself, because I watched it again a few days ago, how, and I know they're just TV characters and it's just a TV show, but when you saw him leave, you felt happy he was leaving because he was going to Holly.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, that just struck me as odd that I thought that.
Well, I think it was such a wonderful character. The Michael Scott character was so wonderful. I think we all worked for a Michael Scott-type character at some point. I know I have. And so I think he was real to us. He was like a real person. And we grew to like him and sympathize with him. And I think we all just wanted him to find Holly. And I think, you know, we want everyone to find their Holly in life. So I think it touched on a bit of emotion there. And you know, I just think it was a pleasant way to sort of say goodbye to Michael. I thought the writers handled it and the actors handled it very well.
Yeah. Now to the federal election. What did you make of what happened on Monday? I mean, the polls were saying that it was going to be a conservative minority for sure. Some were saying it was going to be a slim majority. When the results came in and it was like, what is it, 160-something seats? Did that surprise you?
I originally was thinking they were going to get a comfortable majority. I was originally thinking 162, 163 seats. When the Hill Times asked me to give a prediction, I lowered it to 157, only because I was getting kind of wary because of all the polls, which you just mentioned, saying that it was going to be a minority government. And so I began to doubt my own wisdom, which is always a mistake. but I always thought they would win a majority government, whether it was slim or wider, as it turned out, because I thought that, I just thought the time was right for the conservatives, and you know, I was predicting way back in January that they wanted an election this spring because for that very reason the timing was right. If they're going to win it, they're going to win it in Ontario. That was where the big breakthrough was going to be, which is basically what happened. And here in Ontario, there's an anti-liberal mood. It's the premier here, Dalton McGuinty, is not that popular. So I thought that was a good indication that the Tories would have success here. Michael Ignatieff was not catching fire as a leader. He lacks charisma. He lacks the ability to communicate on an emotional level. And he was a rookie. You know, it was his first election campaign, and I think it showed. And he was going up against Stephen Harper, who right now I believe is at the height of his political powers. He's a battle-scarred veteran. He knows what he's doing. He's very good at communication now, and of course he's a very good tactician. And so with all those things together, I thought the Tories were going to do very well. And plus, they had a great message. Their message was, you know, why change the status quo? Things are working fine now. Why change? And it was up to the Liberals. They had the burden on them to say why we needed change. why we had to have a different government at this time. And I don't think they really had a very strong case. And I think that was reflected as to what happened on May 2nd.
Now, you're not a man of the left, so I'm wondering what you think about where the country is. Have we gone to the right?
Well, I think conservatives should be careful. I think we should be very careful. The victory of the Conservative Party and their majority government is not necessarily an ideological victory for the right. Stephen Harper certainly did not run as a small-c conservative. He didn't talk about cutting back on government. He didn't talk about getting the state out of people's lives. As I said, he basically ran as a status quo guy, that I'm going to keep doing what I've been doing, which has not been all that conservative. You know, he's had the huge stimulus programs, he has the massive deficits, he's made government bigger. So what happened to Stephen Harper was not necessarily a mandate that people are suddenly getting conservative. And on the other side of the coin, I think it's quite troubling that we now have as an official opposition a Socialist Party, the NDP, who were the other big winners on Monday night. Now, it's true, and a lot of people say, well, they have less influence now than they did, you know, in the previous government, and that's true. But let's not forget, they're now a government in waiting. And that means when the conservatives lose, and, you know, one day they will lose, mm-hmm. we'll have a socialist government. And that kind of scares me. And it sort of leads me to believe that while we're winning the political battles, while we are winning the sort of the partisan political battles, we're losing a fight that's much more important, the war of ideas. And I think now, during this time of majority government, small-c conservatives and individuals and organizations have to refocus and get back to what matters, which is the philosophy of conservatism. And we have to get out there in the trenches and fight the left in the marketplace of ideas and sort of explain why socialism is wrong and why free markets work. Because, you know, political parties come and go, elections come and go. What really matters is what kind of philosophy, you know, is governing this country.
So what happens then as Mr. Harper forms his government, as he conducts his government over the next 4 years or so? Will we see some of the things that the left has been scaring us about Harper, that he's got all these Christians around him, that abortion and gay rights will be banned, that there'll be no health care after he's in office?
The hidden agenda. Well, you know, I can tell you, first of all, I think we should deal with all the social conservative stuff.
Yeah.
Despite what the left says, Stephen Harper has never really been politically a social conservative. He's never believed that it was a politically viable avenue to pursue. I mean, this was something we talked about, you know, back in the days when we worked together at the National Citizens Coalition 10 or 12 years ago. He always thought that sort of approach was a dead end, that there were not enough Canadians who really cared about those issues. In fact, people forget this, is that the SOCON, social conservatives, never really liked Harper. I remember when he joined the NCC, a lot of our social conservative supporters quit because they didn't like him. And let's not forget that when he ran for the leadership of the Canadian Alliance, it was at 2002, all the social conservatives supported Stockwell Day.
Yeah.
They thought Stephen Harper was a social moderate, which in a lot of ways he is. So I don't think there's going to be any sort of evangelical Christian agenda that's going to be implemented under Stephen Harper by any means. I would hope, and I'm more of a fiscal conservative, I'm more of a libertarian, I would hope that at the very least that Stephen Harper at least begins to address the fiscal issues in this country, i.e. balancing the budget. I would hope that he can be at least as fiscally conservative as Jiang Kai-shek in that regard. I would hope for a lot more, of course. I would hope there is more to the hidden agenda. I would like to see him start implementing a true conservative agenda now that he is a majority government. But I'm not sure that's going to happen.
Now, does the majority, does that change his style? I mean, people think he's an autocrat already, that he doesn't consult or listen. Does a majority change him, or is it the same old, same old?
Well, I think there's going to be a lot less tension. I think that a lot of that sort of style that people criticize, the dictatorial style or whatever, the bullying, was a function of the fact that he was in a minority parliament surrounded by hostile forces, including the media. So I think a little bit of a siege mentality developed in the PMO. So I think it'll be less. So I think he'll be less aggressive than he was with the minority government. But you know what? He's a tough guy. He's not cuddly. He is. He can be ruthless. And I don't expect that will change. I think so. I think we're pretty much the Stephen Harper we saw over the past 5 years is pretty much the same Stephen Harper we're going to see for the next 4 years, but perhaps a little more relaxed.
Now, how did the NDP manage to get past the Liberals? You mentioned that they're widely unpopular in Ontario, the Liberal Party is. I was looking at the day-to-day polling, and it looked like it around the 25th of April was when the NDP sort of went up and then the Liberals went down. What happened there?
Well, I think most people really weren't paying attention to the election for the first few weeks. People just weren't engaged in it. And I think as people started, the debate was kind of the turning point. People watched the debate. And at that point, Jack Layton, who had sort of been languishing, you know, way behind the other two, suddenly reminded people that he was in the race. And that sort of changed things. I think it's a function of a couple things. First of all, I think the Tories and the Liberals have been hammering away at each other with these negative ads. And I think that kind of turned a lot of people off. And a lot of them probably said, look, the Liberals and the Tories are both negative. I'm going to go to Jack Layton, who's the only positive guy in the race, or at least relatively positive guy in the race. And that's, you know, that's, Joseph, that kind of reflects part of the dangers of using negative attack ads in a campaign that has, you know, two or three or more participants in the race. In the United States, when you only have two people, a Republican and a Democrat, going negative is not such a risk because, you know, the voters only have those two choices. So if they're hammering away at each other, it doesn't matter. In Canada, if two guys are going at each other, they have an alternative. They can go to the NDP. And I think that's part of the reason why there was a surge behind the NDP. Another reason was people just liked Jack Layton, and they didn't like Michael Ignatieff. So that the anti-Harper vote began to coalesce around Jack Layton. And why don't people like Michael Ignatieff? Well, probably because of the Tory attack ads, probably because they don't really know Michael Ignatieff. He was a bit of an unknown. And partly because they just couldn't relate to the sort of aloof academic style leader. And I think the third reason, and probably this for me this is the most disturbing reason, is that perhaps people are beginning to buy in to the NDP's agenda that we need bigger government, that we need higher taxes, that we need more bureaucrats. I think people are starting to buy into that, and some of the polls have reflected this. And that for me is the most worrying part, and it goes back to what I said earlier about we conservatives have to get back into the trenches and start pushing our points of view. For too long, so many conservative organizations and individuals have been cheerleading the Harper Tories and sort of letting the ideas slide. We have to get back to pushing the principles and the values of conservatism.
And what happens in Quebec? Some people were saying wrongly, I think, that Layton's success and the NDP's success there means that sovereignty is dead because the Bloc is, you know, was eliminated essentially from the political scene. Do you agree with that?
No, I think sovereignty was always going to be there. It's always going to be below the surface. The only change is it won't be expressed through the Bloc Québécois anymore. I think that party's finished. It will likely be expressed through the Parti Québécois in Quebec provincially. And who knows, it might now be expressed through the NDP, or at least the nationalist agenda will be expressed through the New Democratic Party. And I think this is going to be a real challenge for the NDP from their point of view. Having that big influx of Quebec MPs, 50 or 60, into their caucus is a double-edged sword. On the one hand, it's given them a huge number of seats in the House of Commons. On the other hand, Quebec MPs can be a problem. Just ask Brian Mulroney. Because they often have different attitudes and different viewpoints and different priorities than people in the rest of the country. So it'll be interesting to see how Jack Layton kind of unites these Quebec socialists with Western NDPers who tend to be more populist. And I don't think a lot of the things that Quebec wants are all that popular in Saskatchewan or Manitoba or British Columbia. So that's going to be a bit of a challenge for the NDP over the next 4 years.
And the other historic thing that happened on Monday night was that a federal government, a majority, could be had by a federal government without Quebec.
Right. And, you know, this was an interesting switch in Stephen Harper's grand political strategy. In the first couple of times he ran, I think the Tories had this pie-in-the-sky notion that they were going to win 30 or 40 seats in Quebec, and this was going to propel them to majority government. It never happened. So I think they approached the 2011 election with a different tactic, with a different strategy, and that is win a majority government without Quebec. Just hold what we have in Quebec and try to win a majority without it. And by the way, this was something that Stephen was espousing way back in his NCC days. He always said that the Conservatives have to figure out a way to win without Quebec, and I think he was thinking of the Mulroney example of what a disaster that was. So I guess he, you know, I guess they did it. They came up with a strategy of winning without Quebec, and I think that's very good news for the Conservative Party, because unlike the NDP, they don't have to worry about a big Quebec caucus sort of calling the shots and upsetting the apple cart. He can now have a pretty consistent message that will resonate with English Canada, and not worry about what happens in Quebec.
There was a story on CBC yesterday. I guess Thomas Mulcair was interviewed on Power and Politics on CBC, and he was asked about Bin Laden and the photos. And I mean, he was saying that he doesn't think photos exist, which when one says that on television, it automatically means that they're buying into some sort of conspiracy theory. What do you make of him? We've sort of seen him now on the political scene for a while, Thomas Mulcair. They're saying that if Layton is no longer the leader, he's it. He sort of scares me. I don't know if scares me is the right word, but he creeps me out almost.
Well, the thing about Mulcair that I sense is he's incredibly ambitious.
Yeah.
And if there's anything worse than a socialist, from my point of view, it's an ambitious socialist. So, yeah, I think he's got his eyes on the prize. He seems to be pretty much of a left-wing radical. He also seems to be a guy who might be a bit of a loose cannon, as yesterday's comments kind of made clear. So, again, that's a character that Jack Layton's going to have to keep an eye on, and I think it'll be interesting to see that dynamic, how it works. I mean, there were many people who were speculating that he pushed Layton to hold this election, thinking that the NDP would get wiped out, and he could take over as leader. Didn't work out very well. But Jack Layton won't be around forever, and sooner or later they're going to get a new leader. And I think Mulcair is sort of positioning himself as the heir apparent. And yeah, that's something that should concern people who are small C conservatives, because this guy, you know, he's a true believer, it looks like, and they can be dangerous.
What happens to the Liberal Party of Canada now?
Oh, the Liberal Party is a zombie. It's dead, but it just doesn't know it.
Yeah.
It's finished. It will never recover from the disaster that struck it on May 2nd. It's either going to merge with the NDP, in which case it will lose its identity. You know, I liken it to being assimilated into the socialist collective, or it'll just sort of linger on as a minor party, losing support election after election, which is kind of a sad end for the Liberals in a way. But I can't see any way that they can come back. Unlike other parties have suffered massive defeats and come back, but usually any party has sort of an ideological base on which it can build on, or a regional base on which it can build on. The Liberals have neither of those things. There is no real ideology holding the Liberal Party together, so they cannot sort of go to the right to get Conservative supporters, because the Tories have that territory occupied. They can't go to the left to mobilize their base, because the NDP now has that territory occupied. And what we're going to see happen over the next 4 years is the Tories are going to eat up the Liberals from the right, and the NDP is going to eat them up from the left. And getting a new leader won't change that. In fact, you know, one of the signs of Liberal decline over the past few years has been their inability to find a good leader. I mean, where the Mackenzie Kings, the Louis Saint-Laurents, the Lester Pearsons, the Pierre Trudeaus, even the Jean Chrétiens, there are no people of that quality or that caliber out there anymore in the Liberal Party. So, all things put together, I think the Liberal Party is dead. And it's, we're now emerging into a two-party system, NDP versus Conservative.
Is that a good thing, do you think?
It's hard to say. It's going to be different. It's going to change the way politics works in this country. It's going to change the way campaigns are run in this country. The good part about it is it might generate an ideological debate between Conservatives and Socialists. The bad news is it could, you know, also create a polarization where we go from Conservative government to Socialist government, as they had in the UK for so many years. So it's hard to say whether it's good or bad. All I can say is it's going to be different.
And interesting indeed. Yeah, Jerry, you're good to come on again and make time for me. I always enjoy having you on.
Oh, my pleasure, Joseph. Glad to be here.
The website for more, jerrynichols.com. Jerry Nichols on the line from Oakville, Ontario in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Planta.